This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Today I'm talking to Sarah Hillier, the South Downs herbalist, about her work and her children's book, The Search for the Elves Cure. And also we have an additional person with us today as well. We have Nikki Skittlethorpe, who did the illustrations for the book as well. So two for the price of one today, which is fantastic. Welcome to Just Women, ladies. So first of all, I'm going to just chat to you a little bit first, Sarah, just to find out a little bit more about your background and sort of how you became a herbalist, first of all. So perhaps you can let our listeners know a bit about that.
Yes, I've been a herbalist for 20 years now. I was teaching before that, ended up as the head of a special school in Hastings. And when I was 50, I decided it was time for a new career. So I trained for 4 years as a medical herbalist, which meant a lot of clinical information, a lot of going to London, and 4 years of training, really. And then I started practicing. So I have actually been now herbalist for 20 years. I see patients face-to-face when we can, doing a lot more teaching. So I've gone full circle, really. So as well as my consultations, I actually really enjoy now the teaching about the herbs. I've gone back a bit, I suppose, all round. I've gone back round. I do workshops at the Sustainability Centre in near East Meon, in Hampshire, and also at Gilbert White's in Selborne. They've called me back again, which is really lovely. Once or twice a year, I will be doing courses in both those places, sometimes half a day, sometimes a whole day. So you can really immerse themselves in finding out about the herbs. And I also do, I've been brave now, I've started to do Zoom and as well as face-to-face workshops. So that's my new adventure, starting to get into the world of technology.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I suppose, is for all of us, has opened up, you know, ways of communicating and ways of sharing our knowledge that a couple of years ago, we probably wouldn't, we might have considered it, but we might have thought actually it wasn't something that was that useful for us. But now it seems that we can do all sorts and impart knowledge that way and help lots more people.
Yes, very much so. I found very interestingly that I was doing a couple of Zoom talks for WI, and it was a local WI in Selborne.
Yeah.
But people were linking in from all over the country.
Yeah.
So Scotland, etc. And even the Sustainability Centre, they hosted a Zoom show, and actually somebody came in from Mexico.
Wow. So yeah, global reach. And Nikki, tell us a little bit about yourself. So you've illustrated Sarah's children's book, but you have a sort of an alter ego that you go under for your illustration work.
Yes, you'll see on the book it's Petrunia Ulana, and that's my creative name that I use. And it kind of brings the energy vibration of bringer of joy and keeper of the sacred arts wisdom. And my journey kind of started initially in 1997 when I did my art degree at university in Portsmouth. And then I was getting heavily involved in recreational walking, backpacking, becoming more interested in the outdoors and conservation and sustainability. And I did a walk from Land's End to John O'Groats for charity, and then really fell in love with Scotland and actually became a recreational ranger. So I was living a life off grid at that time and really immersing myself in the seasons and nature and learning a lot about tree folklore and plant folklore and fairy folklore as well. So this book's perfect for those interests to come through. And it's the first time I've done anything like that, particularly illustration. And I met Sarah on a herbal talk down in Hampshire when I came back home after my period in Scotland. So we obviously struck up a great friendship, and she met me in a little cafe on Hayling Island and invited me to illustrate for her book. So very privileged, and it's been a great learning process and a great challenge as well. And we're really pleased to have the product.
And it's great because it obviously really brings all of the words and the story to life, having those beautiful illustrations as well. So it's a great partnership there. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about how the book came about and what you're hoping to achieve with the book.
Okay, I first thought of writing, drafting the book about 5 years ago, so it's been a long time in the writing and making. I always wanted to write a children's adventure story. I've got a couple of factuals, very small pamphlets that I've done for children, which are like the Herb Detectives, like the old I Spy books, but they'll go out to my workshops for children. But I wanted to write a book, but I also wanted it to be something that could be like a keepsake, which is why the artwork was so important. Now, I dabble with art. I've done a fair bit of art myself, but I wanted a real professional to do this, to actually make the book come alive, and Nikki's certainly done that for me. We had great fun reading it together, and I suppose it was during lockdown I had the opportunity to actually finish writing it. Very lucky to have a very dear son-in-law who is, well, was an English teacher and a wordsmith and a great sense of humour. He was my editor, gave me some wonderful suggestions in the book, and I actually acknowledged that in the book as well. So he was very important. But it started to come alive, and I thought that was the most interesting thing about actually writing a book. I can see why writers become so hooked and wanting to write a story, and the characters came alive. And as I was writing it and developing it and through the story, I was finding out more and more in my head about these two children. And that's basically what it was about. I wanted to write the adventure story as well, but I also felt very strongly, I suppose, my connection with the herbs and the work I do at the Sustainability Centre. I really wanted it to be have a strong environmental message, and it does. The children are being told about the damage that humans are doing to the woodland that they go through, and they take that on board. So I think that's very topical, and children often now know more than adults about
I
what
think
we're
they
doing.
do. I mean, I think it's like anything. I suppose it's like technology a lot of the time, is that obviously the younger generation teach the older generation about these things a lot more, and they're a lot more in tune with it. And what better way to get that across, maybe through a book that actually can be shared? You know, we know that reading, you know, intergenerational reading can be so powerful that actually that can be a great way to share the message as well through a story. Yeah, it's great.
Sorry, no
No,
question.
that's fine. So it's I mean, it's great to see, and as you say, obviously the illustrations bring it alive. And you know, so how do you feel that, you know, obviously the sustainability message and protecting the environment comes through really strongly in the story. So how do you feel that, like, your day-to-day work supports that as well? You know, what do you feel that you can impart some of those messages through some of the treatments and sessions that you do with people?
Absolutely. I think the key word for me is resilience. I'm empowering people. When they come on my walks or when I see patients, my strong message to them is you can do a lot to look after yourself, going around looking for the herbs that are growing out in nature, and start to work with the earth, if you like, to bring yourself back to good health. There's a very interesting naturopathic approach where we see disease as being not necessarily, I think man-made is the wrong word, but it's dis-ease, where the body is out of kilter. And so the herbs do a wonderful job of bringing the body back, if you like, to a sense of well-being. So there's that. There's teaching people about how the herbs work, which ones are safe to use, and most, honestly, all the ones I'm talking about and showing people on my spring herb walk about immunity soon, they're all really safe herbs to use. There's also, though, there's the magic side of it, and for me, with my Western roots and my Celtic roots, and Nikki from Scotland, there's a very strong Celtic element, because these herbs have been around for centuries and centuries. And we're just beginning to relearn about how to use them, medicinally, spiritually, whatever. And medicinally, they have been used, as I said, for such a long time. And it's really important that we keep that
And do you
history.
think there are a lot more people that are sort of open to exploring how herbal medicine can help? And has it changed the reasons why people are exploring those possibilities now?
That's a very interesting question. I think it has. I think more people are looking for I call it complementary rather than alternative form of medicine, because they know, I think more people are aware that modern medicine has not got all the answers. It's lifesavers, but there's a huge amount that we can do alongside to keep ourselves healthy and well, whether that's with herbs, diet, etc. So there's that element of it. And I think there is a very serious desire to look after the earth, to see what we can do, because all the pharmaceuticals are based from chemicals and also petrochemicals as well. So if we're talking about saving the earth, looking after our planet as well as ourselves, it makes sense to go back and actually explore. And that resilience comes from that.
Yeah. No, it's really interesting. It is really interesting about what we can do. As you say, you know, traditional medicine is so important, you know, and but it is about what we can do to support that, so that actually we're not having to draw on that the whole time just to survive and live day to day. How can we support our own well-being and resilience going forward? So I think you explained that really well.
But empowerment,
yeah, you know, exactly,
empowering people to take control of their health and their life, aren't we?
And as you say, by introducing children and younger people to some of those ideas, it's hopefully something that they take forward with them into to adult life and can continue. So really, it's sort of just to find out a bit more with both of you what your plans are for this year. We're at the beginning of 2022. So Nikki, let's start with you. What have you got planned for the rest of the year with your work and you know your interests?
Oh, well, at the moment, I'm in Scotland again, and I'm embarking on a 2-year Reiki teacher training course up at Lendrick Lodge near Callander. And it's near where I used to live when I first started my creative nature journey. So I'm well immersed in that. So that's a big challenge for me moving forward. And of course, just being more creative and exploring all the things I've learned through the illustrations in the book. I've tried to pull through a lot of symbolism and folklore that I've learned during my time as a ranger up here. And of course, now I do work for the Sustainability Centre as well, which has been a long time dream for me. So when I was up in Scotland, I hadn't heard about the Sustainability Centre. And of course, I found it and gradually just waited for the right timing for me to kind of come in and be an addition to their amazing team and the work that they do to promote sustainability.
That's great. That's great. And what about you, Sarah? What are your plans for 2022?
I'd like to find ways to sell the book.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this will help as well. So
I think it was 3 printers later before we actually found a printer that was so helpful. Who worked with self-publishers who wanted just small print runs rather than massive great like print runs for Amazon, etc.
Yeah.
So we're looking, obviously that's one of the things we would love to do, is to actually put that book out there, hence this lovely interview. So I guess that's one thing. We have a big adventure, my husband and I, because we're in the process of actually moving to Dorset, and we want to set up, it won't be called a sustainability centre, but he was an engineer and is really determined to do all the work about resilience and remodelling, remaking things, caring. And I want to carry on teaching. So we're going to have our own, hopefully our own home that becomes a centre for resilience and
fantastic. Energy. That sounds brilliant. I mean, it's bringing together all of your passions and sort of, you know, and sharing and passing them on, which I'm sure is what we all aspire to do. So that's great. So if people want to know more about the book in particular and perhaps would like to buy a copy, how can they do that?
OK, well, I've got an email address and it's good to have a look at the website as well. So shall I give you both?
Yes, please do. Yeah.
OK, so the email is all one word, Sarah with an H, the herbalist. @gmail.com.
Yeah.
And the website at the moment is www.southdownsherbalist.co.uk.
That sounds fantastic.
Contact me and then we sort out payment.
Yeah, that's great. So that's fantastic. So what a lovely way to sort of pass on your knowledge and your ideals through a lovely storybook as well that is going to entertain and is beautifully illustrated as well. So, it's lovely to look at as well, which always makes a difference. So thank you both for your time today. I've really enjoyed talking to you. So that's Sarah Hillier and we have Nikki Skifflethorpe, who are the authors and illustrators of The Search for the Elves' Cure.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.